So, what did you do on Christmas Day? Did you, different people do different things. Did you unwrap your presents before going to church? Did you not go to church? Did you unwrap your presents after church? Did you just like, do you take it in turns around the room? Do you like to see whatever? Do you just go hard? Everyone like pile in and rip them open? Anyone do that? There's different ways to celebrate Christmas, aren't there? And I think me and Katie found that when we got married, we just thought, this is the normal way to, this is Christmas. This is how you do Christmas. No, this is how you do Christmas. And we found that we had differing ideas. In Katie's family, they do. They just all go ripping in and just this pile of presents. And then 5 minutes later, there's wrapping paper everywhere. And everyone's going, yay, I got this. Whereas in my family, it was all very kind of like, you know, and now it's mum's turn and she opens it. Oh, that's very delightful. And then Stuart, my brother, you know. So we all have different things, don't we? But what I love is that we're just getting our hands on things. I do actually enjoy ripping open a present. Anyone else enjoy ripping open a present? It's just quite satisfying, isn't it? Yeah. You handle this thing, you rip it open, and there it is, and it's incredible. Well, handling something is exactly what John talks about in the beginning of his epistle that we just heard. John says this to the people that he's writing to. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. I think that's amazing. And our hands handled concerning the word of life. He's saying, this is real, folks. God actually became a human being, and it's not just an idea, because it's a good idea, isn't it? Isn't it an amazing idea? It's a mind-blowing idea that the God who created everything, who is eternal, who's beyond, you know, all things and above all things, should contract himself to a span and become born as a baby laid in a manger. It's just incredible. It's an amazing idea. But as C.S. Lewis said, it's even more amazing if this idea, this myth, this kind of, you know, incredible sort of, you know, it sounds mythical and all that sort of thing, were to actually happen in history and people should bump into this person and handle him, you know, like that woman who clutches hold of just the hem of his garment. She's too scared to kind of like talk to him or have to interact in any way. She thinks she's so nothing, and Jesus thinks she's everything and says, hey, woman, or daughter rather, daughter, your faith has made you well. People touched Jesus is incredible, isn't it? And as we unwrap presents and handle these presents, people actually unwrapped, as it were, the fact that God became a human being, unwrapped that gift and that present and handled Jesus, the Messiah. You know, people shook his hand. I don't know if they shook hands in those days. People gave him a hug, definitely. People passed him food and he took food. Jesus wept with tears down his cheeks, and maybe one of Mary or Martha wanted to wipe those tears away. People touched Jesus. People jostled him in crowds. And for C.S. Lewis, it's one of those things he said, who wrote, you know, the Narnia Chronicles and all that, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all those sorts of things. Wonderful books that have touched many of our lives. But he said, you know, it's an incredible idea, but what is even more incredible, because there are so many incredible ideas and incredible myths, and he was really into ancient stories and mythologies and all that sort of thing. And his friend Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, said to him one day that the difference here about the Christian myth, if you want to call it that, is that it became fact. It became part of history. It actually happened. The other things are good ideas and they make great stories. This is a story that is also his story. His story, history. This story happened. And John here says, we handled the word of life. We saw him with our eyes and we touched him. Absolutely incredible stuff, isn't it? And then he goes on to say, that which we've seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, And then he says, hello, I'm suddenly even louder. Sorry. And the life was manifested. And we have, perhaps, should I just turn this off? Oh, okay, sorry. Hello at the back. Can you hear me all right-ish? Yeah. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship with us is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But that he calls Jesus the eternal life. It's Jesus that is the eternal life. It's not the idea of Jesus and the idea that, well, wouldn't that be amazing that if God became a human being? It's Jesus himself that is the eternal life. And it's in having fellowship with Jesus that we get that life. Jesus said, I've come to bring you life and life in all its fullness. He said, you know, the enemy comes to thieve, to take away, to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have life in all its fullness. He is the eternal life. Jesus is the eternal life. And it's so incredible that he even goes on to say in John's gospel, who, you know, John, we're celebrating today, he says he's talking to people who are experts in the law and experts in the Bible, experts in the scriptures at one point. And he says to them in John chapter 5, he says, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. And many of us do search the scriptures. And Jesus knew the scriptures. They're wonderful. But he said, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And yet, these are they that testify to me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. He says, you know, these, you search them because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are they that testify to me. And yet you won't come to me and have life. That's what the scriptures are for. He's not saying, don't read the Bible. Jesus knew his Bible. Anyone know what the most quoted book of the Bible is on Jesus' lips in the New Testament? Isaiah, close. I think that's the second most. The Psalms, yeah. Jesus loved the Psalms. He would probably, they sung them, you know, in his time, as the church has sung them all down the ages until today, and still sings them today, although we, some of us sort of forget to sing them, which is a shame because they're wonderful. But these are the most quoted book in the Bible, the Psalms, by Jesus. Jesus isn't saying, don't read the scriptures. He's saying, know your scriptures. They're wonderful because they point to me. They point to me, and in me is the life. I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the scriptures are good because we read them to meet a person, not to get some ideas. Does that make sense? We could get good ideas from the scripture, but we can also get our own ideas. You know, someone said, what is it? The good things in the Bible, some put there by you and some by me, you know. We can read our own ideas into the Bible, but we can meet a person, and that's what Jesus said we're to do. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but these testify to me. So come to me that you might have life. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So let's come to Jesus this Christmas. It's an amazing idea, but let's come to the person of Jesus who loves us and who is here to give us life and life in all its fullness. In him is life, and that life was the light of all people, it says at the beginning of St. John's Gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. And Jesus is here, freely giving himself to us. So, brothers and sisters, let's celebrate and come to him now in our hearts. We'll just take a moment of quiet, and although it's fine to, if there are a few babies and stuff around, they don't have to be quiet because they're not supposed to be. And Lord Jesus, we come to you, we thank you that you are the Word made flesh, that all the great ideas became a reality in history when you, as the living God, became a human being. And we thank you that you've lived a human life, and that you've died, and that you've risen again for us, and that you've broken the power of sin and death, and you've come to give us true and eternal life, because you are our life. You are the eternal life, which was with the Father. And you share your life with us. And we pray for that fullness of life that you've promised to us. And we thank you that in the midst of the realities of this world, the confusions, the pains, the sorrows, and the joys, that even in the midst of all of these things, your light shines in the darkness. And that when we find ourselves in darkness, we're with you and your light shines, and the darkness is not dark for you, because your light shines. So we pray that you'd shine in our hearts with your life, in your name. Amen. We're going to have a time of prayer now. And again, kids are free to make some noise, and the rest of us will have some quiet in our hearts. And I'll leave a few pauses in the prayers just for us to lift up our own thoughts, our own hearts to the Lord. Rejoicing in the love and life of God made visible among us, let us pray to Jesus, the only begotten Son. Bread of life, your beloved disciple John has taught us your living word. Inspire all evangelists and teachers to build up your church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Light of the world, illuminate the dark places of this world where sin, violence, and death cast their shadow over human lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Door of the sheepfold, protect all who are in trouble or danger, and give grace to our loved ones, families, and friends. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, minister to all who are lost, misguided, or without faith. Bind up the broken and give rest to the weary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, raise us up at the last day with all who have gone before us in faith, with those whom we love but see no longer, with John and all your saints, that in your Father's house we may come to the place you have prepared for us. Incarnate Lord, accept these our prayers for the sake of your most holy name. Amen.